I would ride 5-6 times a day, and I didn't enjoy it because it always was like a battle between me and my horse, and it was about me trying to discipline my horse and to coerce him into performing for me. So I kind of stumbled into another way of working on things.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
What's your pony called?
Riley.
Riley. Do you have to use different brushes or what?
Yeah, you can, but we usually start with this one. It's called a curry comb. It's for going in circles and
to get loose hair.
Yeah.
So you just go in circles.
And then usually we go to a brush called the hard brush. It's kind of a hard end. That's for like brushing all the dust away.
So how often do you have to groom the horse?
Usually whenever you see it.
Yeah.
Whenever you come.
Some people come twice a week or once a week. It's called, what is this called again?
A shedding blade.
It's called a shedding blade. This is how he gets the hair off, and when you give a bath, he goes like that fast and hard, and it scrapes the water off.
If you don't groom it a lot, it might get kind of like all unhappy, feel dirty.
Because it would be itchy and dirty.
Okay. And its hooves could get an infection.
Its hooves can get stones in.
I want to use it.
Okay.
Some horses don't like to be cleaned.
What? If they haven't been cleaned a lot, they might get all scared about it.
Can you tell me a little bit about what these horses need to eat?
Hay.
There's something called oats. There's something called oats.
Oats like what we eat?
Treats.
No.
Oh. No, they're like little round.
Yeah, they like apples and carrots. We feed him beet pulp and a handful of oats.
Sometimes there's like, for older horses, they're different kind of foods. They have that look like dog food.
What do you hope to do? Your mom told me that it's your passion right now. Is it? Do you want to?
To have a lot of horses.
I want to ride one.
I would probably like to get more trained horses. Because I don't really like working with untrained horses.
Okay. So how long can a horse live?
I'm not sure. It depends how they're treated.
Yeah. Like average is 25.
Ponies live longer than horses, though. I guess because horses are bigger and do more like jumping. When you're grooming, everyone stays on the same side because the horse could get spooked and then it would move. It could hurt a different person on the other side.
Show it respect and it'll show you respect in the same way.
So if you have a horse, you have to let the horse know that you're bigger than it and you're in charge of it. They usually figure out that you're small and they're
big. How do you clean the hooves? We're going to find out in a minute.
First, while we stand here so the horses can't kick you, check this one.
You're clean.
Wait, Marin.
I know, he's clean.
Here, I'll hold this When you go over to the other side, I'll hold this back.
Okay, but his hips are clean.
Don't pull that out.
Boy, you're clean.
Sting, the spotted one, he's done damage to his feet,
yeah.
So he has some shoes on.
So are you saying that they have to have a shoe on when they're going places, like on the road and stuff like that?
No, yeah.
Because, like, if there were horses that go for, like, rides on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also plow horses do.
Because they go through mud and stuff. Mm. And they don't want their feet to get stuck in the mud.
I usually try to come twice a week or three times.
Mm-hmm. And how about you?
I don't know. Since I don't really have a horse of my own, then I sometimes come with Marin. And so I'll probably be coming about the equivalent of once a week.
What's the best thing about having a pony? Is it like riding on trails and stuff? Or?
Not really. I like working with horses.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm.
Just taking care of them, right?
Oh.
How about you? What's the best thing about if you had a pony?
I guess just being able to have it like as your own. Just not having to, borrow one every single time you want to go riding or anything.
Yeah.
And
you wouldn't have to ask to ride it. I like Riley. I'm going to ride him today.
Do you have to help your mum take care of the horse?
Sometimes.
Well, do you have any chores? What's your chore here on the farm?
Well, I usually sweep out the barn without asking because it's just fun to sweep out the barn. Which one do you want to ride?
Well, do
we
choose?
It's your
a
choice.
Bridle, and it has a little thing that goes in here so you can steer the horse.
Yeah, if they feel you pulling on the side of their mouth, they turn this way.
Okay.
You can pull on both, like back, like, and stop. This is a larger bird, more dirt.
Do you sweep up every day?
No, sometimes I'm fine. I sometimes help my mom feed, like, you know how I told you about the oats and beef pulp and stuff?
How about your little sister? Does she help as well?
She helps sometimes. I help sometimes. And we never helped in the winter. Yeah, we just stay inside and kept ourselves warm.
But that's what I was going to ask you. How do you keep the horses in the winter?
They like it out in the snow. And we keep that door opens into a field, so they can come in here if they want. We've also got another shelter if the door's closed so we can ride.
They have these things called blankets that go in, and they keep the horses warm.
And in the summertime, they have something called fly masks.
Rihanna, you need a helmet, my love.
You can ride first on my
pony. Rihanna's going to ride on Puzzle first.
I know.
And Marin's going to ride on Riley.
Okay, can I ride on that?
Yeah. When I was a cowboy out on a western plain. When I was a cowboy out on a western plain. I made a half a million. Put it on the bridle reins. Come a cow, cow, yiggy. Come a cow, cow, yiggy, yiggy, yeah. Come a cow, cow, yiggy. Come a cow, cow, yiggy, yiggy, yeah. Oh, the hardest battle was ever on the western plain. Oh, the hardest battle was ever on the western plain. When meet a bunch of cowboys running to Jesse James. Come a cow, cow, yiggy. Come a cow, cow, yiggy, yiggy, yeah. Come a cow, cow, yiggy, come a cow, cow, yiggy, yiggy, yeah. When me and a bunch of cowboys run into Jesse James. When me and a bunch of cowboys run into Jesse James. Their bullets was a-falling just like a shower rain. Come a cow, cow, yiggy, come a cow, cow, yiggy, yiggy, yeah. Come a cow, cow, yiggy, come a cow, cow, yiggy, yiggy, yeah. Oh, the hardest battle was ever on Bunker's Hill. Oh, the hardest battle was ever on Bunker's Hill. When me and a bunch of cowboys running into Buffalo Bill. Come a cow, cow, yiggy, come a cow, cow, yiggy, yiggy, yeah. Come a cow, cow, yiggy, come a cow, cow, yiggy, yiggy, yeah. The boys had it all in for a man on the outskirts of town. And they had made the horses drunk. They had made them 45 drunk. And the boys was already done got drunk. And all around that man's house, them horses was a-walking, and them 45s was a-talking. And they sounded best regards to that man. And hear what they said. Your house catches a fire, and ain't no water around. If your house catches a fire, and ain't no water around. Throw your jelly out the window. Let the doggone shag burn down. Come a cow, cow, yiggy. Come a cow, cow, yiggy, yiggy, yeah. Come a cow, cow, yiggy, come a cow, cow, yiggy, yiggy, yeah. Come all you cowboys, don't you wanna go? Come all you cowboys, don't you wanna go? Come meet the long ranger on Range Buffalo. Come a cow, cow, yiggy, come a cow, cow, yiggy, yiggy, yeah. Come a cow, cow, yiggy, come a cow, cow, yiggy, yiggy, yeah.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
I'm Sharon Quarrington. We have a 70-acre farm near Freelton. And what we're doing here is we've basically trying to figure out how to live on the land. So we've got some horses that we breed and some horses that we train and some horses that we ride. What's different about this place is we're trying to set the horse stuff up basically from the perspective of the horse and working from there forward. So the philosophy is called considering the horse. I started this kind of riding, it's called natural horsemanship, before I had kids or even thought about having kids. And I've spent a lot of years sort of in competitive showing and that sort of thing, and ended up I would ride 5-6 times a day, and I didn't enjoy it because it always was like a battle between me and my horse, and it was about me trying to discipline my horse and to coerce him into performing for me. So I kind of stumbled into another way of working on things through sort of coincidences and tried it and found that it was far more fun and a lot more successful. Xenophon wrote one of the original manuals in Greek times. It's not new, it just keeps getting sort of rediscovered. And most of the people who are trainers in this a lot of them were cowboys and would spend a lot of time out on the range with lots and lots and lots of horses. And they would watch the horses interacting with each other, and they would notice how one horse would be the leader, and they would notice how the horses would communicate with each other and using body language. And they kind of watched their friends with horses and thought, well, you know, maybe I could do that a little easier if I tried to do it the way the horse does. And some simple things, like people tend to lead horses around with a lead rope because that's what we're predators, and we lead, it's what a predator does, is leads and holds on to things, and predators like to hold on to things because we like to go and bite things and chomp on stuff, and that's just part of our nature. Horses, if you watch them in the field, they don't lead each other around. The leader is usually in the back, and they're pushing from behind. So the guy thought, well, what if I push the horse from behind instead of leading him from the front, and found that the horses listened far better and understood what the person was asking instead of being confused. It's that sort of thing. So it's a lot of people spending a lot of time watching horses interact with each other and then trying to mimic that as best we can. It's been around forever, and the Plains Indians, some of them would do this sort of stuff, and there's a lot of different people would use this, and then somebody around the line would come and try to improve it and make things better and more regimented because they needed it for the cavalry, or they need a lot of our traditions come out of the cavalry. In the sort of current riding school stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was designed that way because they needed to train a lot of riders really fast so they could go out and they didn't have to worry about whether they rode for a long time because they were probably going to get killed anyway. So they just wanted them up and riding quickly. My horses are very relaxed. They're very easygoing. They don't... they're not stressed to any degree. They listen well and they understand what we're asking of them. We have some horses come here and they've been at other normal kind of facilities, and when they get here they're underweight, they've got ulcers, they've got problems with their behavior, that sort of thing. And they come for behavioral training because they're bucking their riders off or they're kicking or that sort of thing. And after a month of living outdoors with their buddies and being worked with in a way that's respectful and that they understand, most of the problems just kind of disappear all by themselves. Horses are unique in that they're both herd animals and they pair up. They do both, so they don't like being by themselves. They definitely like to be in a group, and then they usually will find one buddy within the group. There's a very clear rank and order within the group around first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and you have to know what that order is and respect it. But my job as the trainer is to always be one up in the pecking order than the horse. So for Bert, who's leader of the herd over there, I get to be the number one horse in the herd. For Stingray, who's kind of number four in the herd, then I would be number three. So, and I need to behave in a way that doesn't scare him, because if I act like the dominant horse to the number, the bottom of the pecking order horse, I'll just scare him. But if I don't act that way for the lead horse, then he won't listen to me. Not everybody understands this kind of way, and I've learned not to try to convert people, but just to kind of do my own thing, and then work with the people who are like-minded. But what's really nice is that the people that do come here are all really nice, authentic, kind of grounded people who value their horses and want to create an environment for their horses that works for them, and they go through a fair bit to do that. It's not easy. I mean, it's actually a lot easier just to put them in a stall and then put them in a paddock. But what you end up with is right now, horses, it's very normal for horses to have respiratory illness and to have ulcers. And they're finding that the rate of ulcers is sort of between 50 and 90% in most stabled horses. Colic, which kills horses, which is a problem in their digestive system, is sort of the leading cause of kills horses. And it's basically stress-related.
Talk about your involvement with homeschooling and anything you might have learned from training horses to raising kids.
Sticks don't work. One of the things with horses is you need to be able to provide leadership for them without being aggressive. So if you dominate them, it just destroys their spirit. And you can see it in the eyes of horses a lot. Their spirit is just really, really gone. Or the other thing they'll do is fight back. And so horses will respond one way or the other to being too aggressive. If you don't provide leadership to them, then what happens is the horses will walk all over you. And I see that a lot as well, horses that literally are leading their people around. And I think for the kids, I try to remember that because I really don't want to squash their spirit. I don't want them to get into a situation where we're fighting. But I also need to provide leadership for them. I can't sort of leave them in a kind of a vacuum that says, find your own way, because that's stressful for them too. I've got horses that they're in a group and they're the dominant in the group and they don't want to be and they get really, really stressed. And if I move them into another group where there's a good leader in that group, the horse calms right down because horses really seek leadership. And I think kids do too. I think that kind of stuff. But they also need to be in an environment where they can be themselves. And for me, homeschooling really allows them to do that, and it gives them a place where they can be kids and they can play and they can learn coming from themselves. I think that's part of what I find is similar. And in a lot of the people that work with horses in this sort of a way, they're more interested in the spirit of the horse and in connecting and in relationship building than in dominating and performance. And that is similar to, you know, the school system, which wants performance is the goal, and all we care about is a short-term goal around how well do they do on their grade 3 test. And that's the goal, and whether we crush the spirit of the child or damage the relationship of the child or even their long-term future doesn't seem to matter. And with our horses, it's a little slower, but we get to build relationships and we really get to see. I mean, we've got a really beautiful warm blood there that moves beautifully when he's in the field, and when he was under saddle, he was very, very stiff. His owner was always fighting with him. And now under saddle, he's gorgeous because you get that same free natural motion out of him. It's just about letting them be the best of that they can be and supporting that. Right, and I guess it's the same with the kids. What I found is the stuff I connect with all seems to come from the same kind of universal place around respecting people, around spirit, around what feels right and authentic. My parenting when they were little felt like that, and the horses feels like that, and homeschooling feels like that. And again, that's the kind of stuff that would be good to bring into the world. I think part of what the horses have taught me is to really try to look at things from their perspective, because as a prey animal, they really look at the world in a different place. They see wolves places that I would never see a wolf. Their whole world is very different from our world. And when I'm training a horse, I have to shift mental gears to look at the world from the horse's perspective. So I have to see what things would be threatening. I have to understand how they learn. I have to understand how they respond to that. With the kids, I'm learning to try to look at the world from their perspective, because a child is more of a prey animal than you would, because they are so dependent on us, and they're very emotional creatures, and they actually operate a different way.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
Boy was in the hallway drinking a glass of tea. From the other end of the hallway, a rhythm was generating. Another boy was sliding up the hallway. His golden nerves merged perfectly with He merged perfectly with the hallway. He merged perfectly with the mirror in the hallway. The boy looked at Johnny. Johnny wanted to run, but the movie kept moving as planned. The boy took Johnny, he pressed him against a locker. He drove it in, he drove it home, he drove it deep in Johnny. The boy disappeared. Johnny fell on his knees, started crashing his head against a locker. Started crashing his head against a locker. Started laughing hysterically when suddenly Johnny gets a feeling. He's being surrounded by horses, 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 coming in all directions, white, shining, silver, studs with their nose in flames. He saw horses, 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 horses. Do you know how the pony, like Boney Maroney, do you know how to twist?
And just at the leader.
Mm, where, at the fair?
Yeah.
What fair?
At the Buskin Fair. He's the leader because he leads other horses around.
Oh, did you get to ride Chestnut?
No, not this time.
Who did you ride?
Coconut. Actually, I'm not sure which one I rode, but one was very big. So we'll just say that I rode Chestnut, okay? And I saw Black Beauty in a movie, and I saw Ginger, and I saw Spirit. And Spirit is very, very, very amazing. And Spirit flies across a canyon.
Is Spirit a winged horse?
No, but he flew across a canyon without any wings to make him flutter.
Do you know horses that do have wings?
Yes, unicorns and winged horses, like Pegasus. Pegasus flies like this.
What's the story behind Pegasus?
Pegasus
dive?
Does she?
Yes. She dives and then becomes a star constellation up in the sky. But it was very sad. But I liked her.
Why was it sad?
Because she died and became a constellation up in the sky.
But what happened that she ended up... How did she get up there?
Because she was... I think she was forced up there by the Nerevan. So that's how she died. Then she became a constellation.
Who made her into a constellation?
Zeus. So she wouldn't be dead.
Hi, my name is Madeline, and I'm going to talk about spirit. Then I'm going to talk about hi-hat in the Marx Brothers. First, I'll talk about spirit. Well, spirit is funny, and when she was a kid, she put her mouth against some ice and then came back with it stuck on her lips. One day when she saw this light, then she went down to it. And this guy, they have a whole bunch of horses trapped. Then he saw the spirit was there, and then they got her. Then they began to chase after her, and then she was on the run. Spirit was brave, adventurous, smart, and let's think, and powerful. Spirit was very fast. Well, when Spirit was being slave labored, then she was pulling it up and she recognized the place as the place where she was living. She was pulling the train. A whole bunch of horses. She sent the message to all the horses and went away. She lay down, and then they began to drag her away over another horse. Then she quickly got up and pranced over the man who was leading the horse. But then the train began to fall down right on her. She began to run and shoot down. And then the train was falling, tumbling down, and these two men saw her. Then they're like, there's a new train right beside it. And then the train begins to puff. The new train begins to puff away. There's, like, fire. Her eyes had fire. Her eyes had fire in them, so that made some real fire go up in the forest. And after a long time, she got back to her mom. With another horse as well. A Day at the Races.
Okay, so hi-hat in A Day at the Races with the Marx Brothers. So there's Harpo, Chico, and Groucho. Mm-hmm. Groucho is pretending to be Dr. Heckenbush. He's really a horse doctor. And then Chico, he's going, here's your Tootsie Frootsie ice cream. Here's your Tootsie Frootsie ice cream. Tootsie Frootsie. I like that word a lot. And he's really selling books, and he gives Groucho a load of books. And Harpo, he rides horses for races. He's a jockey. Mm-hmm. One day, they looked for Hi-Hat. And Hi-Hat was in this ambulance. And some other two people helped them get Hi-Hat. And they're like all running along, meeting each other. Did you find Hi-Hat? They're like, did you find Hi-Hat? We're all running. Did you find Hi-Hat? Then when they find her in the ambulance, then they have the race. And Harpo sees his bully. And then his bully and Harpo fall in the mud. His bully gets on Hi-Hat, the fastest horse. And Harpo gets on his bully's horse. And then they rod. So his bully was on Hi-Hat. So that meant his bully got there first. But then when Harpo started to dust the horse that the bully had used off, then they found out it was number 7, ooh, and it was hi-hat.
So hi-hat really was a true winner.
Yes, okay. So that meant that Harpo won. The end!
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1CO.